Thank you.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our meeting. I want to thank everyone for being here. I also want to thank you for being here at such an early hour, given that if you're like me, you have a busy day, and so we probably need to be, if we're always efficient, but maybe more efficient than we normally are. Let me just remind everybody that we are being recorded on this video conference. Members of the public can watch the meeting via a listen-only video feed. Let me remind everyone who is watching us or listening is that you'll notice the members from time to time, and you'll notice how I'm doing it right now. We're going to look away or look down. We're not doing other work. We're looking at materials which are also electronic. And we have multiple screens up or multiple tabs open so we can kind of look back and forth. So that's what's happening. If you're on the budget committee and or anybody who's doing presentation, please remember to mute yourself unless you are speaking. That includes me. And before you speak, unmute yourself so we can hear every pearl of wisdom you have to deliver. When you do speak, if you could identify yourself for people so that people who are listening but can't see will know who it is who is speaking. And with that, Ms. Cowan, would you take roll call?
Judge Rubin.
Here.
Judge Mormon.
Good morning, I'm here.
Judge Botke.
Good morning, I'm here.
Justice Fujisaki.
Present.
Justice Hill.
Here.
Judge Hawk.
Here.
And Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
All members are accounted for.
Thank you very much. We didn't, my fault, we didn't post our meeting minutes, so we're not going to be able to do those today. We'll do those at the next meeting for last meeting in terms of approval, so we'll wait for that until the March 9th meeting. We'll move on now to public comment. Ms. Cowan, was any public, I understand there's public comment with respect to a particular item, but in terms of in general, was there a general public comment received?
No.
All right, that does conclude the public portion, public comment portion of the meeting. We have two action items before us today. We have the court-appointed counsel funding and the collections program performance measures benchmark update. So let us start with, unless there is a scheduling issue, let us start with item one, which is the court-appointed counsel funding. We have Judge Conklin here from TICPAC, Ms. Mylieb, and Ms. Vita. So let's hear.
Thank you very much, Judge Rubin. Candidly, I'm going to punt this very quickly to the experts because this is a rather technical issue. But for brief background, this comes to you as a recommendation from TICPAC. We had an action by email consideration just last Thursday, February 10th, to address these three allocations. And they are TICPAC's recommendation. It was unanimous, save for one vote. On each of the recommendations concerning allocations or reallocations of funds related to dependency counsel and federal funding behind that. So before I say anything else that will just confuse the issue, I'm going to turn it over to, and I'm not quite sure who's going to take this for the numbers.
This is Kelly Mealy.
Thanks, Kelly.
Good morning. So for consideration today, we have three separate allocations recommended by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The first two are allocations that we do each year. The first one is allocation of $1,144,748 in Juvenile Dependency Counsel Collection Program funds that were collected in fiscal year 2021. The second is reallocation of $878,001 in unspent trial court funding for court-appointed counsel and dependency cases. And the third allocation is a new allocation of $1,543,180 in new Family First Prevention Services Act federal pass-through funding that will be contingent on actual receipt of the funds.
Thanks very much, Kelly. If there's, and again, these are, don't mistake the brevity of the presentation for lack of significance of the allocations. They are important, but they're typical, as Kelly just noted, they're allocations that we're used to dealing with, and we're just looking for approval via JBBC to the council for these allocations. And they're all set forth on page, sorry, I had them, page four of the materials, the three allocations.
Right. Judge Hoffs has hand up. Go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, I just want to confirm my understanding, at least for the first two items. This is the same formula or methodology that we've used in the past?
That is correct.
Yep.
Thank you.
Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve the three recommendations.
Thank you, Judge Hoff. Is there a second?
I'll second. Hill.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion on this issue? And I just wanted to thank everybody. When I was reading the report, in the package, I was stumbling through, and everybody was helpful in walking me through it, taking me by the hand, and guiding me through. So thank you. It is, like Judge Conklin says, a little dense, but it's also, for those who have been dealing with it routinely, they are really good.
Did you call me dense, or was the material dense?
Well, don't push, but no, I meant the material. Listen, you
it.
Can't find a bagel place in Fresno, so.
I'll be in touch. And Kelly, thank you very much for the presentation. I appreciate the assist.
Yeah, outstanding work, everybody. All right, any further discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, matter passes.
Thank you, everybody. Right. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, our second item is the collections programs, the updates to performance measures and benchmarks. And we have here Ms. Newman and Ms. Vera to assist us. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Judge. I'm Donna Newman. I'm Supervisor in Budget Services. And item two today for your consideration of recommendation to approve revised performance measures and benchmarks required pursuant to Penal Code Section 1463.010. We have a presentation for you today that hopefully will take you through and help understand all of the metrics and how we got to where we are today. So I am, I should introduce, let me back up. I'm going to also with me today, I have staff, Maria Lira, who is a senior budget analyst, as well as Don Lowry, who is a fiscal analyst with us. And we have some special guests to speak also. So I'll introduce them as we go through the presentation. So give me just a second, let me share my screen and hopefully it all goes the way that I'm hoping. How is that? Can everyone see?
Yes.
Awesome. Wonderful.
And Donna, if I might, before you start, if folks want to make the screen larger of the screen share, there is a slide button at the bottom left that you can move and makes the right side of the screen larger, because there will be some more detailed slides that you might want to blow up a little bit on your screen.
Thank you, Zia.
Yep.
Yes, the material is a little bit dense, and we've tried our best to make it as large as possible, but there's a lot here. So our presentation today is about the performance measures and benchmarks for collection activities. Our focus is on delinquent court-ordered debt, and we'll provide some background on that here in this next slide. Delinquent court-ordered debt begins when a citation is issued, which is results in a court-ordered fine amount. The citation is either paid forthwith or on time. And if it's not paid, it becomes delinquent. An account becomes delinquent the day after its due date. And once it's delinquent, it is always delinquent. Delinquency triggers the court-ordered debt process, and debt is actively pursued until it is resolved, whether it's paid in cash or resolved by other means, such as community service or ability to pay reductions. Debt can also be taken off the books through the discharge process. It is required in Penal Code 1463.010 that the 58 court and county collections programs work collaboratively to collect and report delinquent debt. This code section, which you'll hear a few more times in the presentation, also requires that the entities report data on a Judicial Council approved template, which you'll hear more about also later on. So our presentation will highlight why performance measures are needed, how the performance measures and benchmarks were developed, and what the proposed measures are, and some detail to hopefully let you see how useful they can be. So why are they needed? It all began back in 2003 with Senate Bill 940. It amended Penal Code 1463.010, and it required the Judicial Council to develop guidelines for the collection of fines and fees that were imposed by the courts. A few years later, along came Assembly Bill 367, and once again, it amended the same Penal Code 1463.010, and it required the Judicial Council to, among other things in that, at that time, develop performance measures and benchmarks to review the effectiveness of our collection entities.
Ms. Newman, this is Judge Rubin. If I just have a moment. Could everybody please mute, except for Ms. Newman? We're getting a little bit of background noise. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Newman. I'm sorry.
All right, of course. Thank you. So as a result of the amended penal code that resulted out of Assembly Bill 367, there were two metrics that were adopted by the council in 2008. These are the existing metrics. They are the gross recovery rate, which measures the ability of an entity to resolve court-ordered debt. The other is the success rate, which measures the amount of revenue collected after any adjustment or discharge. So the PMBs have been in place, these current ones have been in place since 2008, it's been 14 years. And although performance measures haven't changed, there have been a few changes to collections. In 2014, the Legislative Analyst Office issued a report that essentially said that it was difficult to comprehensively evaluate and compare the performance of the collection programs due to inconsistent and inaccurate reporting. In part, we believe, due to the lack of good, reliable data, in 2017, Assembly Bill 103 was initiated. This bill established a new government code, Government Code Section 68514 of the Government Code, which among other things required the collection entities to report additional information on criminal fines and fees and to separate that data from prior period and current period. Also, within the last 14 years, the culture around court-ordered debt has evolved from focusing on the collection of revenue to instead helping individuals resolve the debt in lieu of cash, meaning, again, community service ability to pay. Those are a few examples. And due to the changes in collections, it was determined that the current approved performance measures and benchmarks needed to be revised. And so now this takes us to the how. The first step in the process was to contract with a consultant. The Judicial Council teamed up with Forrester Consulting, Inc., and so the process began. As you can see on this slide, there were several steps taken to update the performance measures and benchmarks. The consultant analyzed 3 years of data, and they met with seven different courts and counties who were subject matter experts. And we have invited one of them to be with us here today. You'll hear from them next. but most recently in the area I kind of want to focus on is that through the approved collection template that we have in which we do our legislative report from, we were able to provide sample dashboards out to all 58 of the entities, and they were able to provide feedback. In your packet, attachment 2A gives you all of the responses and the information that we received from those entities. In summary, I believe that the responses are positive. It's a new and different way for them to look at their collection entities and their performance. Some of the feedback that we received, we have already addressed. Some of it had to do with the color of the dashboards, meaning good and bad. And you'll see that here in the next, the end of the presentation. And some of the other comments had to do with, you know, there was a lot to take in on the dashboards and understanding the metrics. So the consultant has met with one entity individually. They are available and able to meet with others if others are interested to meet with them on a one-on-one basis. And then training became kind of the other bit that was important, and the consultant will be developing some training sessions so that recorded training sessions so that folks can excuse me, easily see what they're looking at in the dashboards. So those are some of the comments. There were, you know, quite a few others, but we are working to address any of them that we can. We do want to kind of point out here, though, that some of the feedback was on the dashboard itself, and we don't really want to get stuck in what the dashboard looks like, because we want to focus on the 7 metrics. The dashboard will likely evolve and improve over time as we work with it a little bit more. So with that, I want to introduce Jake Stroud, who is the Chief Deputy Treasurer Tax Collector from Monterey County, as well as Colin Simpson, who is the Chief Financial Officer with the Superior Court of Monterey County. And they would like to speak with you about their experience in this process thus far. Colin, Jake.
Good morning. Thank you, Donna. Just a few notes from our perspective here at the courts and from the county. This is a big step forward in assessing the collections performance, and we expect this will continue to refine and adjust the metrics as we progress. So this isn't the final step, but this is a big step forward. Forrester engaged our court and the county and other collection programs on multiple occasions, and they integrated our comments and recommendations into their metrics. And also the visual display, or dashboard as it's more commonly known, of those key performance indicators, they simplify and they facilitate internal programmatic assessments and informing other stakeholders about the program. And now I'll pass it off to Jake.
Morning, I'm Jake Stroud, Chief Deputy Treasurer Tax Collector, and I actually head up the Monterey County Revenue Division, who operates as the collection agency for the local court. And so I get to work with Colin. And when I joined the division about 5 years ago, I'll say there was a great degree for me of uncertainty around the gross recovery rate and the success rate, and kind of looking at how can we improve the program without really thoroughly understanding those formulas. So we were really excited to be able to participate in the program with Forrester to look at things, and really appreciated how involved they were and how they incorporated our feedback, as Colin said. And I really feel like the new dashboard that we're going to look at in a minute, for me as someone running the collection program, gives us more focused data to drive decisions about where we might be able to make improvements, more so than the previous benchmarks. We actually were able to take even just kind of the beta opportunity that we were participating in and look deeper into kind of some immediate things that jumped out at us from the dashboard. And even were able to collaborate with Colin in the court and one of the other local courts from our cluster, Ventura County, to look at kind of what other things do they do, what ideas do they have, and particularly we're able to make some changes regarding how we worked our older debt and actually updated some policies to improve the collectability of our older debt. And that was really based on what we saw on the dashboard. It really jumped out at us how much better we were doing with our new debt versus our older debt. So that was a really critical thing for us. We really appreciate having the dashboard and are excited to show you all it. And there's many other things that I could definitely touch on, but in interest of brevity here, you know, the discharge of accountability, the adjustment scores that you'll see. And I think that wraps up what I wanted to touch on. So thank you.
And now we'll pass it off to Maria Lira with the Judicial Council.
Thank you, Colin and Jake, for that feedback. Good morning, everyone.
So these are the seven proposed performance metrics developed by Forrester using only data that is already reported by the collecting entities on the approved template as required by statute. The collecting entities, that is a quarter county responsible for the collection of delinquent debt, will be referred to as entities during this presentation. The four metrics will measure each entity's performance. The other three are normalizing metrics, all equally valuable in helping the collecting entities understand, benchmark, and improve their performance. With that, let's start with the collector effective index, or CEI. Each slide will provide a summary and visual display of the metric. In addition to the metrics, Forrester created a dashboard, a one-stop shop, if you will, that the entities can use to view their individual performance, as well as cluster averages, which are based on the workload formula and intended to serve as benchmarks. For presentation purposes, we are using Alameda's data. Their sample dashboard is in Attachment B, and Attachment C provides information on the metrics and clusters. The CEI will show how effective the entities are at collecting on delinquent case referrals of a certain age, that is, new cases established in the current period and old cases established in all prior periods. The goal is for each entity to strive to maximize their CEI for both current and prior period case referrals. Based on available data, the entities are generally more effective at collecting on new cases established in the current period, since collectability tends to drop as the debt ages. Alameda was indeed more effective at collecting on current period case referrals. However, when compared to the cluster average, they were a bit less effective. You'll notice the green and the yellow highlighted areas. A value highlighted green is a positive outcome. A value highlighted yellow is not bad. It simply means that there's an opportunity or room for improvement. Missing or no data is also highlighted in yellow. Next, we have the first year resolution rate, which will show how effective entities are at collecting and resolving referrals within the first year of receiving the case. For this metric, the goal is for the entities to score as high as possible. Again, Alameda resolved 16% of current period referrals through collections, adjustments, and discharge. The rate is lower than the cluster average of 20%, meaning that there is some room for improvement as fewer referrals were resolved in the first year. Next, the spend efficiency score, or SES, is one of two metrics that Forrester created to look at cost effectiveness. The SES will give the entities a sense of how efficiently they can collect delinquent referrals by showing the amount of money spent to collect $1 in delinquent case referrals. The SES will, Alameda uses the collection services of a private agency and the Franchise Tax Board, as seen on the slide. Overall, the private agency was the most effective. They spent 13 cents to collect $1 of delinquent referrals for the current period and 10 cents on case referrals from prior periods. Lastly, the fourth performance metric will give the entities a better idea of how much they spend per referral or case by specific age, meaning current and prior periods. Alameda spent $13 per referral established in the current period. That is about $15 less per referral than the amount spent by others in the same clusters. So that is the last performance metric. I will now hand it over to Don, who will review the normalizing metrics and the dashboard.
Thank you. I'm Don Lowry with the Funds and Revenue Unit. The first normalizing metric is the adjustment score. It is a representation of the dollar value of adjustments made by the program against the total balance of court-ordered debt. This score, along with the other metrics, is a representative number, not a percentage, and should be used as a reference to understand the relative impact of adjustments from entity to entity. As we see here, Alameda's score for this measure is lower than other members of its cluster, indicating relatively fewer adjustments of outstanding referrals. Moving on to the discharge score, this similarly is a representation of the dollar value of discharges made by the program or entity against the total balance of court-ordered debt. It is also used as a reference to compare with other entities in their cluster to see how they are performing in comparison. As we see in this slide, Alameda has a discharge score significantly higher than the average for its cluster. Finally, we move to our last normalizing metric, the risk monitor. It shows the number of cases which became delinquent as a share of the total current or first-year referrals, including non-delinquent referrals. This will give collection entities a better gauge of how often accounts are referred to collections and ultimately how challenging it may prove to resolve cases. As we can see here, Alameda has a much lower score than other entities in its cluster, indicating fewer cases becoming delinquent and a lower risk of non-performing accounts. All of these metrics come together in the dashboard. This is a sample similar to what you have in attachment B. The dashboard is designed to provide entities both a descriptive and visual representation of each metric. There is a lot to take in, which is why we will be providing that training for our programs to better understand each component. And this may not be the final visual, as we are open to input and continue to look for ways to improve. As we mentioned earlier, rather than assign specific benchmark percentages to each metric, Forrester included the cluster average found in attachment C on the dashboard, so entities can measure how they stack up versus their peers or collection programs of a similar size. Because the cluster averages will change year over year, Forrester believes that averages will serve as a better, more useful benchmark for the entities and will foster greater collaboration with their peers. Early feedback from collection entities indicate that the increased detail of these performance measures will be more useful to them than the two that are currently in use. And with that, I turn it back to Donna to lead us in any questions or discussion.
Can we answer any questions for anyone?
Any questions from the Justice Fujisaki? Go ahead.
Hi. So I had wondered earlier about, you know, the kind of on the chart with the public comments, you know, there were very few responses to the comments made. And I do appreciate that Donna had explained kind of what, you know, what was done or what is going to be done in response to the comments. But I'm just wondering whether it might be helpful, since this is going to judicial counsel, to have maybe something in the report that kind of addresses it in the same way that you've told us, in terms of, you know, what I'm looking at is the fact that these commenters were specifically asked for their concerns and suggestions. And rather than having a chart that doesn't even acknowledge that, you know, that they're being considered or that they've already been adopted, I'm just wondering if it would be perhaps beneficial and helpful to either have the report maybe add a paragraph or something that talks about, you know, what the committee, if there is an actual committee on this, or what the budget services, you know, what their response is in terms of having received the comments and either, you know, have already addressed or will be considering how to address, you know, the input that's been received.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Zeke, go ahead.
That's a great suggestion. I mean, we're going to impose on Kevin for a moment to explain what we did with SEAC, but I think it's a great point. We've been tried to be transparent, open, and I think, and made, you know, a substantial changes. So documenting those for you as well as the council, ultimately, assuming that this does move forward, is all in the spirit of what we're doing. We're looking for improvement. We want to instill confidence in you all that the team is working with the courts and the counties have done the right things. And I think there's no question that you look at the prior two benchmarks were insufficient. And I'll tell you, when I got here almost 11 years ago, and I said this to Judge Rubin, the then CEO of Orange County, Alan Carlson, took me to task, said, this is these are not very helpful. And I said, well, we'll work on it. And but it was about data and systems and availability. And I think we're now at a place where we can do that. So I think we appreciate that input. And this is exactly why we're doing this. We want to make sure that you have the confidence that we are heading in the right direction, that we've heard from our programs and incorporated their feedback when inappropriate. So maybe it'd be a good time to impose on Kevin to talk about how we interacted with SEAC and how we did work with the programs to solicit feedback.
Thanks, Zlatko. I did have my hand raised and I just lowered it. But good morning, everyone. Yes, Zlatko, I wanted to publicly use this opportunity to thank you for including SEAC through the process of developing and soliciting input on these benchmarks. I think this is an example of how things really should go, which is bringing people into the fold early and often to allow that opportunity for input. And as I look at the comments, you've got large courts, small courts, you know, county input. And I think that what we've heard is that all of that is being used and to further tweak the benchmarks as you see before you now. Overall, I appreciated Budget Services and Zlatko coming to the SEAC meeting, making the presentation, and kind of advertising this to encourage that input. And I think that the final product as it stands now reflects all of that input. And I do think that the benchmarks show that are much more useful than the previous two that were overly simplified. One of my personal favorite parts of all of this is that it's using data that we've always been reporting and just filtering it a little bit more so that it wasn't an additional burden on the court. It was just using the information we were already reporting and then making it more useful. So thanks, Zlatko.
And please don't give me the credit, Donna and Maria and Don, and then our partner courts. I mean, Jake and Colin provided great input as an example. So you're all I'd say definitely it's the team that's done the work over the last couple of years to get here. But was there other questions?
I think Judge Mormon had a question.
Two, I think, pretty easy questions. My first question is the dashboards, is that going to be something a particular court has access to, or is there going to be a snapshot in time that it is sent to the respective courts?
We receive the annual report, obviously once a year, and so it will be kind of a snapshot, but we have gotten some feedback about the courts wanting it to be more interactive, so we can work towards that, but again, we only receive the data on an annual basis, so it's kind of stuck in time.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then my second question is, outside the actual reports that are prepared for the legislature, is the information contained on the dashboard? I guess the dashboards will be part of the report that's sent to the legislature, so it's public, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And one thing I will add is that, and it's been alluded to, is this is going to be a continual improving process. While this is a significant upgrade from the 2 to the 7, we're going to be looking at this on a regular basis. For updates, so it's not a one and done for us and see us in 9 years type of thing. This is going to be a continual process of updating the look and feel of the dashboard. And I will say that our collections report is one of the more broadly read reports. In fact, we were asked, and Donna made a presentation to a group in Canada, because they were very interested in how California was doing this a couple of years ago. And so our collections data we seem to be a leader in this, and this will do nothing more than really push us forward in showing California is very interested in efficient collections, while understanding that we are looking at policy-wise the whole issue of fines and fees. But while we have the fines and fees in front of us, we need to do the best job to collect those, notwithstanding the policy discussions.
Thank you, Zlatko. Judge Roman, are you raising your hand again, or?
I was just going to make a motion.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll move to approve the 7 proposed metrics developed by Forrester Research in compliance with the relevant codes to be applied to the 21-22 collections reporting template and reported in the 21-22 report to the legislature and the Department of Finance.
All right, is there a second?
I will second that, Judge Rubin.
All right, Moorman motion, Bakke second.
Does that include the recommendation about delegating authority to Budget Services?
I thought they should be 2 separate motions, given the nature of the proposal recommendations.
Thanks.
All right, on the first portion then. On the first portion, then we have a motion to second. Is there further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, it passes. Judge Roman, do you want to pick up the second piece then?
Sure. I'll further move to delegate authority to the Budget Services, the Administrative Division, to make technical changes to the metrics in response to any changes to a program or a statute.
Second. That's Hop.
I guess I have a question. Is the intention, let me ask Lacko or the author of the report. It seems like we've gone from 2 metrics now to, 7? And it seems like we may want to keep expanding, or that Budget Services may find new areas or new ways to crunch. Does that recommendation contemplate to give flexibility to do that as well, or is it more restricted?
Our intention is to be technical. We feel that if there would be a policy change, then we would want to revisit that with you and the council. Okay. But I think we want to be transparent. The feedback will be continual. But if there's a point in which we determine that we think that there's a need to really raise our hands, we would come back for approval. So we'd like to limit it to the sort of what we would call as more technical changes.
Very good. All right, we have a motion by Moorman and a second by Hop. Is there further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, it passes. Outstanding work. It's really, I think, impressive, and I'm real pleased about it. So, good news. All right, thank you for that. Which takes us on to our next item, which is when's our next meeting going to be? Which I think it's March 9th. Did we say? Is that still, Ms. Callen, is that still on the books?
Yes, March 9th is the meeting date, Wednesday, March 9th. And like Z said, we are working with Judicial Council Services to determine how we're going to conduct the meeting.
All right. And then, perfect. Great. So we'll be in touch, staff and I'll be in touch. We'll try to figure out what the logistics are, and then we'll get something out to everybody to let them know what our options are. All right. Okay. Anything for the good of the order? Anybody? All right. Well, go out and do justice. And I will see everybody and talk to everybody soon. Bye. And then, Judge Roman, if you can hang out, I'm going to call you in a second. All right.
Thank you all.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.